like to stay on ice.
Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbirds. I'm your host, Sean Chris. Riding shotgun as always.
Brat, brat. It's Joel Thomas in the house. You know how we do it. And it's about to get loose again this week. We're about to get on that music tip. And you know how Sean and I feel about that. It's going to be wild. Guess we got this week is going to be just blazing.
We got Chaz of the Dead with us. What's up, man?
Hell yeah, guys. Glad to be on the show. Glad to get weird about some musical subjects.
Yeah, we love to get a little bit weird on everything. And now it's like perfect. Like I was saying before we started recording that we both do music. So we are really in tune to what is going on. But before we get into that, can you just like break down a little bit of who you are and what you do so people can kind of go look into your stuff?
So I'm a paranormal researcher, author, adventurer. I travel around all over the world investigating weird stuff, from UFOs to ghosts to cryptids to conspiracies. I just love weird shit. And I write about it. You can find all my stuff at chazofthedead.com and all of the social medias at chazofthedead. I've got a new book out too just now about the Betts case. It's a UFO ghost weird home story. So go check out all that shit. Glad to be here. Glad to get into some crazy stuff that I actually don't get to typically talk about. This was we were saying before you hit record that this was a an interesting request. I'm excited to get into the subject.
And I really love your name, man, Chaz of the Dead. I like it just flows good, and especially like with what the other stuff you do, you know, like it just goes perfect. The name is just fits perfect.
Oh yeah, I'm a big Shaun of the Dead fan. Oh, nice. So it was the laziest option, and you know, no one had like taken the handle yet. So
hey, you got in early. So when you started like going down these rabbit holes like of music, what really got you kind of like whoa, what's going on here? Like when you, because to brief everybody, like, and I'll have this in the show notes of your article, you talk about chaos magic and SoundCloud rappers. And I found it interesting because, you know, like you talk about X, you talk about 69, and you talk about Lil Uzi Vert, who are kind of really the pillars of the SoundCloud rapper era. And what really got you to like, oh man, these guys are all, you know, a little bit satanic-ish.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where my experience in the paranormal has always kind of been tied with psychedelics and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, anyone who uses psychedelics knows music's, you know, right there. It's a similar experience to, you know, what I do as well, storytelling. It's just in a different form. I have no rhythm. If I did, I'd love to, I'd love to be a musician, because it's a great, you know, way to tell a story. Growing up here in South Florida, you're exposed to a lot of different, varieties of music. I actually live in Gainesville now, so North Florida, but, we got Tom Petty, but then you also got Kodak Black.
Yeah.
It's a diverse mix of local sounds. And, you know, I went to a public school, played a lot of sports at the YMCA growing up and stuff. And so I was exposed to a lot of different music. And it always, you know, had this error of, you know, magical essence. You know, it's always kind of been hand in hand, even when you think to shamanic traditions, right? You got the drum beats, you know, the basis of what is hip-hop today is that drum and bass, which is, you know, again, traditional in South America, Africa, Eurasia, and these traditional cultures. And so this actually kind of started just as this kind of research rabbit hole for the chaos magic in SoundCloud. Kind of started out as really more of a thought experiment because, you know, a good friend of mine, he, one of my closest friends growing up, he was a classic metalhead. He loved your 80s hair metal. He loved the death metal. He loved all of it. He's heavy into the metal. And of course, everyone knows the satanic implications to metal music, right? They're right in your face. It's on the cover of the albums, you know. They're throwing goat blood at the fucking concerts. It's very much that symbolism's embraced. And that was always my favorite part of metal music. You know, I got the long headbanging hair and everything, but I've never been that much of a metalhead. I love all kinds of music, but it never really was my particular vein. But I loved the satanic imagery. I loved all of the, you know, blood and guts and all that shit. And then this new generation of rap kind of started picking up on the internet where those themes and stuff started to blend in, and really it embraced those ideas, higher occult ideas. It was beyond just the shock value of Satan, but more of the ideas of, well, here's how you manipulate subconscious and get people to pay attention to your work. And you know, some artists were really blatant, in your face, lazy about it. 6ix9ine's the perfect example. I mean, he just, I'm calling him lazy. I did the same thing. We just talked about it. I picked Chaz of the Dead. It's Shot of the Dead. Lazy as hell. I just ripped it off. I'm kind of funny, and I talk about, you know, dark subjects. I just ripped it off from a similar project. But 6ix9ine, that's, you know, 69ing was already a cultural icon, right? Everyone knows what that means. We don't have to get into it. But that was already, you know, an inside joke for everyone to enjoy. And so he kind of latched on to that in his own way. Again, he had that comedic aspect. He leaned in to being goofy and weird and funny looking and comedic. He had, you know, his music, mediocre, but his internet presence, stellar. I mean, the content was great. I don't know where he's gone. We missed him this last year. But the internet content was hilarious. And it kind of fit this whole embracing of the symbolism, using these symbols to your advantage. And that's the essence of chaos magic. Other artists, I think XXXTentacion, he definitely had a deeper in-depth understanding of these occult ideas and started more into like entity work and shit like that, where 6ix9ine stopped at the very base level of, I'm going to take a symbol, I'm going to cover my body in that symbol, I'm going to become unanimous with that symbol, and that will get me a certain level of popularity. And it did. It works. Magic works is really the root of this. Whether you're Damien Eccles or you're 6ix9ine, these things tend to, again, the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, and X even was talking about, you know, frequencies a lot. He spoke about like, hey, I'm changing frequencies to get to people and to actually get them to get into these certain levels. And with X, I think like his magic, like people more, they really like him dying. Like people still are really a part of that. They feel like, oh man, he really talked about really good shit. Like I really feel him. You know, like his music had a lot of like passion behind it. And it's even crazy because for his first songs, like when he was locked up, like his SoundCloud, it was like, to me personally, just being in music, you're like, man, that mix down's horrible, man. Like the sound quality was just like really bad, but people really vibed off that whole, that's where kind of like that whole lo-fi era like really jumped off.
Mm-hmm. It captured that essence. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that just going back a little bit, before the SoundCloud rappers really blew up, the romanticization of like Satan and hip hop really kind of started with like Jay-Z and like Kanye and some of those guys, because they kind of brought that whole Baphomet imagery in. And the new guys that came up, like Lil Uzi Vert and all those guys, just found a different way to do it where it was like more attractive to the younger crowd. Because I just like all those guys were just going nuts with it on SoundCloud, to a whole different level.
Well, the Jay-Z and the Kanye symbolism is it's definitely of a lighter breed. I mean, it doesn't, when we say satanic, it's a very large umbrella of symbolism that gets thrown under there, because evangelical Christians are uncomfortable with a lot of shit. They pretty much will throw that label onto anything that makes them feel a little weird or horny or whatever. But Jay-Z, they do the whole Illuminati. They've got, you know, this symbolism they definitely use in their art. But again, a lot of that always tends to do with the directors of those videos. And of course, all of those artists have a large, a record label behind them. They're a corporate entity, you know. They're churning out music to meet a certain market. And that's to be played on 94.1 hip-hop, right. The radio station. They're going to fill it with words they're going to have to bleep out, but that's going to make you want to go look it up online, and that's going to get them extra views that way. And it's a whole cleverly thought-out scheme. And sprinkling in a little bit of that symbolism is part of that. But you saw that more hardcore symbolism, and it popped up in some of the late 80s, 90s mixtape era, where people were, again, selling mixtapes out of the back of their car and kind of selling their music this way. And specifically in Memphis, which was one of the third part of my article series, which actually popped up a couple years after I had written the first two articles. And the first article gets into this, the use of chaos magic and in SoundCloud and modern hip hop. The second one gets into the death of XXXTentacion and the conspiracy. It gets fun. But the third one was something I kind of stumbled upon in later research, and that was discovering, ironically, it was on one of those like iceberg memes, you know, where they're like, yeah, yeah, surface level conspiracies and then like super deep conspiracies. And it was something, I'm sure it was on 4chan or something similar, where I was like, all right, let's see if there's any of these I don't know. And the Satanic Memphis Mixtapes was one on the fucking deep in the iceberg. And I was like, okay, well, I haven't heard of that. What the fuck's that all about? And it stuck out because I had already written about, you know, this kind of subject before. And in Memphis, you do have this scene where these underground artists, no labels attached. They were, you know, recording and producing these mixtapes. The 10 Wanted Men. And there was a mix of people in the 10 Wanted Men. Little Ramses was one. There was Homies from Brazil, which was a trio inside of 10 Wanted Men. It was really this in-depth kind of group, but it really was this origin of like murder rap, like this really heavy, you know, I'm gonna kill you, fuck your bitch, and rob a bank and then smoke a blunt afterwards, and you know, fuck yeah, you're gonna hate me and I'm evil, hell yeah. It was this whole lean in, and the story was that the famous West Memphis 3 case, ironically tying back to Damian Echols, where already you have some magical stuff around that. But for those who don't know off the top of their head, that was in West Memphis, Arkansas, where Memphis, Tennessee, right there on the border. These three little boys were murdered in a very brutal fashion. Horrible crime, genital mutilation, which there's actually a debate. Some people say that mutilation was turtles biting afterwards. But again, who's to say? But essentially, they threw in the three goth teenagers into prison for it. They were like, these guys listen to, ironically, metal albums, and they're guilty. They're clearly evil. It was part of the Satanic Panic, which we're kind of revamping today. But I think very interesting that that revamping of the Satanic Panic is happening now alongside, again, this symbolism taking a new breath in music, which correlated directly with what happened back then in the 80s. Again, these kids were condemned because they wore black t-shirts and they listened to Metallica. But that was all it took for them to be labeled Satanists.
And which is crazy because Metallica, like, you don't really think of, like, well, me personally, like, I wouldn't think, like, oh, man, Metallica, like, especially with all the music out there, that's not the one that I would be like, oh, man, that, like, even though there's symbolism and everything, right? But, like, that's not the group that I would be like, hey, man, we got to watch out for that Metallica group, man. They're talking about that.
Well, I think it's Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah,
is
yeah.
The one where supposedly if you play it backwards, it's messages from the devil, which is super ironic because the Venn diagram of Led Zeppelin fans and like satanic, like anti-satanic crusaders nowadays is almost a fucking circle. So it's pretty weird how that shift.
Hey,
occurs.
Let me ask you a question, Chaz. You're talking about Memphis artists. What about like 3-6 Mafia and like Lil White and some of those guys that were coming up in Memphis? Because they seemed like they were almost just a commercialized version of what you said. Like they had some of those those aspects that you were talking about, but they were a little bit lighter, kind of like you were talking about Jay-Z and them.
Right. So, well, 3-6 Mafia was the one that kind of took off from that group. They weren't in that same group, but they were in that same era. They were making that same kind of music, and that was the big record label was like, we like this sound, but we only want one group. We don't want to flood it with this heavy murder stuff. We realize that's a market we can hit, but we'll take 3-6 Mafia. The rest of you can keep selling your mixtapes. But this lore, because these mixtapes are fucking good. You can still find them on the internet, and I think that point needs to be reiterated. They slap. They're really fucking good mixtapes. Like today, you'll listen to them and you'll think it's some artist on SoundCloud doing this trying to hit this murder rap. But this shit was 40 fucking years ago. Well. Yeah, shit, I guess it is the 20s, 40 years ago. So, it's definitely good shit to check out. But the rumor was that, the end of the West Memphis 3 story is they didn't do it. And years later, it was proven that they didn't do it and they were released. But the story around these mixtapes is that it was this group of rappers who got together and killed these children and committed a bunch of murders. And on 8 of these mixtapes, the sound of the murder is mixed in. And if you play all 8 of the mixtapes, it completes some kind of magic sigil where you can, summon a demon and, like, make a deal with them or some shit like that, supposedly. Now, it doesn't work if you just play them off of YouTube. You have to have the original mixtapes, which, of course, only 100 of these were made. And you've got to find 8 different ones out of it. So it's essentially an impossible goal. But it is a really fun story. Is there any evidence to say it's true? No. Other than, again, the themes of the music, the satanic imagery, when you listen to that mixtape, you're like, yeah, if they're living like they're rapping, then yeah, maybe they did sacrifice those boys. But of course, it's creative expression.
But I would say the mainstream level of all that would be Bone Thugs, though. They were talking about Ouija and Ouija boards and Mo Murder, and like they really had this, like, it wasn't like in your face necessarily, just like kind of sprinkled in. I think like a lot of the major artists, but I was gonna say 3-6 Mafia and Bone, which actually ironically had beef with each other because they both claimed that they stole each other's style. Like, we rap past first, but remember they were big on the Mr. Ouija, are you with me? Like, and they were really into this like occult, and there was even this whole thing where, you know, the almost like the Marilyn Manson took out his rib to suck his dick. I don't know why that was like such a huge, everybody like was talking about that in high school, but like,
well, what we know about him now, maybe it's true.
But they were saying that Bone Thugs, you know, that was they sold their soul. Like it was, that was something that everybody would talk about when we were growing up. They'd be like, oh yeah, Bone Thugs. I don't know even who started that whole rumor. Like there was no evidence based. They were just like, yeah, man, they sold their soul. And then the whole thing of Biggie was on one of their songs and Pac was on one of their songs and then he died. And then there was the whole like lure of supposedly on the song with Pac that he's like, he's alive, he's alive. Like, oh man, he's alive, man. Like, you know what I mean? That left the lure of Tupac. Well, like it was so much wrapped into it. But I think Bone was really the biggest mainstream at that point to kind of embrace this new satanic panic, which you're talking about now, which I think people are, which I will say, I think conservative Christians are the originators of cancel culture because it's so ironic because they get mad about it. But they're the ones that kind of push this on to people because they, that's what the whole satanic thing, like why people have pentagrams in rock and stuff is because they're like, all right, well, fuck you. We can't have this. Now I'm going to do it. You know, they kind of forced it into the music. And I think that was intentional, but like, they don't see that. They're like, oh man, it's terrible. I'm like, yeah, but your panic is what pushed people to go harder on this whole, the whole topic.
Well, it goes back even further, you know, when you talk about the original, you know, rock musicians and jazz musicians. God, I'm biffing on his name right now. It's on the tip of my tongue. But the guy, he went to the crossroads and sold his soul to the devil.
Johnny Cash. Guitar.
What was his name?
No.
Black dude, long before Cash. God,
man, they did it on, dang, what is his name? Jazz.
But I always thought it was ironic that, you know, when you look at the history of music, the Elvis stole his music from black people, and then black people just got it from the devil. That's always the explanation. Like, oh, he sold his soul. He made a deal. And
was it Robert Johnson?
That's how jazz came about.
Robert.
I think Robert that's Johnson. It. There was a Johnson in there. That sounds right. and there, that archetype pops up again and again, even in like famous paranormal stories. You have the Axeman of New Orleans, who was supposedly a demon / serial killer, and there were all these axe murders. And he wrote the paper and said, whoever doesn't play jazz music, the devil's music, will be axe murdered at this night. And the whole city played jazz music. They were like, fuck it, you know, we're doing it. And, you know, it's always had this kind of association where the popular music, especially when it's with young people, with minorities, anything that represents these outsider communities, that's the devil's work. Anything that's not about going to church, anything that's not creed, is the fucking devil's work.
And then there's always like the playing the records backwards. I mean, I've never subscribed to that because doing music, I've played my music backwards. And if I told you it said something, that's going to be in your head and you're going to hear it. You're going to be like, yeah, you did say that. Like, and I'm like, no, like, like, it's just never really fit for me personally. I just don't think, I think that was just one of those like urban legends, like that a lot of things, the pre-internet, you know, where people are like, man, you know what's crazy, man? Like, or like in Little Nicky, remember they were like, hey, play Chicago backwards. He's like, you think that's crazy?
Well,
play
Chicago. I always think about the fucking Manson family and how all half of that shit came from the Beatles.
Right.
Which, like, man, that's the music, like, you know, your dad buys you your Beatles album in fifth grade because it's like fucking Yellow Submarine and shit, you know? And that was just the fucking culture back then. Even that was, like, radical, where, like, these acid heads were like, yeah, man, the Beatles want us to kill the black people and take over the world. It's absolutely wild. And again, it roots back to, in my opinion, it roots back to the fact that whether it's music or storytelling, there are things we experience so often every day, we don't even recognize it. But it is a very minor psychedelic experience, right? When you think of a song in your head, or you picture a story or an image in your mind, that's a hallucination, right? That's something you're generating chemically in your brain, a image that doesn't exist physically. And that experience you have when you listen to music. And so people have good trips and bad trips. And so they'll take that piece of art, that whether it's writing, music, or painting, and they'll interpret it in any way they want to. Once it's created, it's out there. And that's a beautiful thing a lot of times, but other times it's not necessarily. You get some fucking Manson families every once in a while, and they'll take some shit way too fucking far.
Hey, Chaz, let me ask you a question. You brought up the Beatles, and you were talking about chaos magic. How do you think that might, correlate with them? Because, a lot of people talk about them having Aleister Crowley on their album cover. And, I just want to know what you think about that, mm-hmm. too, even that far back. Because I'm assuming, if we're talking about chaos magic, that would just, that would incorporate all kinds of different styles of music, right?
Right. And so I think the best way to explain that is to explain really the basis of chaos magic. Because it has this cool name. Sometimes it's spelled with a K. It looks really fucking cool. One of those backward Q, G things. But really, it is the level one magic. It's observing these occult practices and finding which ones that personally work for you. And when I say it's level one, it's not to demean it. But it's more to say that it's necessary before you observe other occult practices. Because once you understand the tenets of chaos magic, once you understand finding which ritual practices and which symbolism and stuff works for you, then you can start. It's the base step. It's step one. And then you start working with those symbols and furthering your magical development. But as it being that, chaos magic is essentially, any of these artists to embrace symbolism, and especially when they go for figures like Aleister Crowley or the devil or, anything, whether even if it's just like a chick in like a fur thong riding a pterodactyl, it generates this image, and it generates this neural pathway that leads you down the experience. And again, the artist, whether you're making music or you're writing something, you're intending it to be perceived this way. You always want it to be perceived one way. But that's never the guarantee. The end conclusion is something that you put out there, and it's no longer in your mind. It's in the shared neural network. And what happens then is kind of beyond your control. And a lot of people nowadays don't really understand that concept. And that's why I think a big part of that cancel culture shit that goes on, especially with, music and artists and things like that, where they, they create a piece of art and it becomes interpreted this way, and it ages poorly, whatever it is. And suddenly the artist is now that. He becomes this interpretation of a creation, which is insane, right? People rap all the... Drake raps all the time about killing people. Does anyone here think Degrassi in a chair rolling Drake personally pulled the trigger? No, we're not, again. But people are going to interpret that and say, oh, he's a Satanist then. Like, he's not murdering people, but he's promoting murder. And then, again, they can't separate the art from the artist. And that concept is really difficult. And it is. It's used as a cop-out a lot. Well, you should separate the art. And sometimes the art is meant to be offensive.
Right.
And so in those cases, again, it's that conversation of interpretation that makes a lot of people uncomfortable today. And the real issue is you can't really have that conversation in 140 characters. And so right. That larger dialogue is fucking lost. There's no ability to hit that middle ground, at least on the internet. When you talk to people like we're doing, obviously you can be like, yeah, I get that. Or, I kind of disagree. And we could understand right, each right. other. But social media almost, of course, feels intentionally designed to do that. And it does it, whether it's politics or music whatever you like. There's a lot of infighting, and the algorithm loves
it. Oh, yeah.
But to go back to Drake, some would say that, he's the one that put the hit out on X. There's a huge, yep. Like they break down the songs where they believe that he
I may or may not have written a very red article about that very subject.
Yeah, I need to get a hold of that then.
that's actually a pretty wild story. It is pretty interesting. There's some lines and some songs that are definitely seemed like, referencing the XXX.
Well, I know you guys remember the guy that they said did it, and he like blew up on Instagram over them saying that.
Yes. Was it Stormzy?
Yes. Yeah, it was so crazy. Yeah. And he had like a video he put out right then too, if you guys remember that. And he was like,
I didn't do it. Yeah. It wasn't me.
That's his soldier kid.
Yeah. He's got Soldier Boy's name and Kodak Black's flow. The only reason he's famous is because people thought he killed XXXTentacion. But there's some lines in some Drake songs like trade in Louis bags for body bags, and that's what was stolen out of X's car when he was killed, was a Louis bag full of cash. Again, is that because he killed him, or is it just a lazy rhyme scheme?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Of course, using lyrics to condemn someone for something like that is as bad as the satanic panic.
Yeah, when they're so loosely, and as well, the reason people really went behind it is because the whole beef of when X was saying that he stole his flow, and then they're like, oh, see, he's calling him out, and that was the basis of what a lot of people thought. And I do agree, I don't think that that he really, I think it's a fun thing to go down and to connect, but it's hard to connect lyrics, because unless you literally go, yeah, I was there at 7:15, unless you're really being descriptive of what happened.
The more interesting part, because you can spend a good chunk of time analyzing lyrics and talking about that. Again, I don't think that's convincing anyone. Yeah. The two bits of information that were pretty weird was, first, that a few months before he died, X posted on Instagram saying at Champagne Poppy at Drake, if I die, at Drake did it. I'm snitching right now.
Right.
That's what he posted. Yeah. Black screen, nothing else. So that was pretty bizarre. And then, of course, he made that music video, Sad, the last one he released before he died, where he's attending his own funeral. Yeah. That one is steeped in weird occult stuff, right? At the very beginning of the song, the video starts with him saying, You're now a receiver for my occult message. I'm summoning this demon Gyekium, which he named his kid after. And again, he was into some occult shit even deeper than I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? I do it because it's fun and it helps. It's a good process to use psychedelics with and things like that. He was full blown, I'm gonna summon a demon. he was really Aleister Crowley with it. He was going deep into those kind of subjects, and that song reflected it. And again, it seems almost like a premonition. It's him attending his own funeral, and if he died shortly afterwards. And then the other weird thing was in, I think it's the Sicko Mode video with Drake and Travis Scott. During the Drake verse, there's a very fast clip of it's an animated, but it's clearly XXX with his black white dreadlock, one of his classic iconic haircuts, which again he had that shit on lock too. But
definitely
with the looks, the style, again, it's all part of it. But he it shows that image of X getting hit with a meteor, and it's a pretty douchey thing to put in a music video about a kid who just got shot. And it's probably more of a like a flex on them thing.
I think more of a flex because they even did that with recently with Young Dolph. You know what I mean? They were doing it with Young Dolph's death. Like that. Unfortunately, in the hip hop community, we're very disrespectful at times. Like once you hate somebody,
I'm gonna say it right here. I hope when I die, there's a bunch of other paranormal investigators that are like, yeah, rest in piss. Fuck Chaz. He was an asshole. That's how I'll know I've made it.
No, that's for sure.
That's how I'll know I've made it.
Yeah, the real make it in this world is when they start calling you a shill in a CIA op. That's when you know you really got it.
Hell yeah. Zach Baggins dancing on my grave. That's when I'll know I fucking did something.
But I do think that like it goes back even further, like with even like, you know, the Jim Morrison with the ties of his father, and then like, you know, a lot of people believe that guy Theodore wrote most of the songs of the Beatles, like where a lot of people thought intelligent agencies. I think that the crazy part is that and sometimes I think I'm not saying the magic part isn't real or that it's not practiced, but I really think it's almost a cover for a lot of the ops that have been played through music, because music is something that really rejuvenates the youth and gets people like, you know, to do stuff like, right. How do you get movement started? It's usually through music, you know, like you're getting these lyrics started.
Well, that's well documented that the especially in California, where a lot of these bands were blowing up around the Manson era, because he was part of this mm-hmm. social club. Everyone forgets that he was best friends with the drummer from the Beach Boys. And it was actually that guy's house where Sharon Tate was living. And that's, he would have been murdered if it weren't for him moving a few months prior. But that whole movement was getting LSD, government-made LSD. And there's a lot of debate on whether that was intentionally done or if it was leaks, things like that. But it was certainly, there's a guy just recently, he's been on Joe Rogan and stuff, who wrote a book mm-hmm. about how Manson was getting his LSD, from this doctor, who was treating all kinds of musicians and people at the time through this free clinic, but he was also working in MK Ultra and he had all this documentation to prove it. And so, yeah, it's always been this discussion, and it's a discussion we're going to continue to hear now with, you know, a lot more QAnon shit going on, where the counterculture is just part of the deep state. Anything that's not Jesus Christ, or Lord and Savior is the deep state and the Satanists, and they're working together to eat babies and, you know, do all that shit. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I'm going to choose to look at this as a half full thing, because they're going to label music that way, but you can't beat music. You know, that's the universal tongue. You know, people are going to keep listening to hip hop, whether or not it's seen as satanic, because it's fucking good music. And If you're fighting against something like that, I think your movement's not going to be eternal. It's not going to last as long as you think. And so maybe it's a blessing that we have Satanism in our music, because I think it'll help us in the future be a little more rational. Because I think, as you find, especially if you look at the actual Church of Satan and stuff, most of it is just cheeky fuckers. They're not really actually believing in Satan. They're more like atheists who are douchebags.
It's more like a rebellion thing, man. I see it more as like being a rebellion because you wanted to go against it. But I got to go with what Joel said a lot of times. Those people that kind of like push everything's like satanic, this and that's some rookie shit. You know what I mean? That's some like you can't see through. Like you're just seeing one layer. There's deeper things. Like one interesting rabbit hole that I like to go down. I haven't gone down in a while, but there's this YouTube page called the Tupac Hoax. I don't know if you guys ever like seen that. And they really put together. It's really well put together, whether it's real or that it's not. But like how they say
is
that
their thesis that he's alive.
No. That he was portrayed because they talk about how he's a Gemini and he's the two split personalities, and that he was the Messiah of hip hop. That kind of ushered in this era of chaos. Like in X's song Sad is similar to I Ain't Mad At Ya, where he kind of predicted his death, and then the whole Machiavelli play and how it dropped on Easter, the resurrection of Christ. Like, so it's really like you got to really go down. It's tons of videos.
A lot of people
like,
say that X was the Pac of, you know, that SoundCloud generation. That was something that, especially right when he died, that was, you know, that age demographic that, you know, they didn't know Pac. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, that was to them because of all the things that led up to it. He almost, you know, mirrored Pac in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not saying musically, but for sure, the way that they kind of went about it.
Well, his death certainly, again, kind of like Tupac, certified him in a certain aspect, right? We think, I often think about if Tupac was around today and he had put out, like, you know, 100 albums, like 50 Cent. Would he just be a TV personality now?
Yeah,
like
50 Cent? Oh, yeah.
You know, would we, we have that reverence? And I don't know about Tupac because the music's pretty damn good. But X, I'm pretty sure we might have forgotten this kid if it weren't for his tragic end. The music's good. I mean, I love the hard songs.
But what makes it related, what makes him relatable as well is like because of, that's why they were calling him that duel with the Gemini thing, because, you know, you'd have Pac come out like Dear Mama, Brenna's Got a Baby, some really, like when he first came out was really on some like social conscious shit, and then he completely did a 180 and went on some hard gangster, and X was similar in that way where he would try to speak some, like, you know, like some sense into people or some like, hey, this is like from the soul, and then go flip it on some wild shit. The theory was that growing up as being like a break dancer and really into hip hop growing up, when Tupac really switched to that whole gangster mentality at that time, there was a big movement like De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, like these groups that really had a positive feel of music, and it got shut off. It completely got shut off because, you know, you had NWA and you still had Rough People, but like they literally like cut it off, and you no more were on MTV. It was strictly only like the hardcore gangster shit, and it kept because then after that you got Tupac, Bone Thugs, you know what I mean? Go, and then you go down the list of where then it became kind of like not just gangster, but kind of gangster partying, and they completely took out the conscious rapper. And I do think that was intentional. And I don't know if it's a conspiracy. I don't know if it was just money.
J. Cole's still around.
Yeah, but
J. Cole's holding compared it up. Killer Mike. Come on.
I love Run the Jewels. Run the Jewels is amazing. So.
And I will say, Cole has the verse of the year, man. That song he did with Benny the Butcher, that's definitely up for the verse of the year, man. That verse was killer. Well, that Benny the Butcher album.
I love J. Cole.
But you don't have as many groups as you had at that time. Like, you had Dos Effects. Like, I can go down the line, like, of where it was transitioning into this more grassroots type of music. Like, you know what I mean? And then it kind of became corporate.
Well, I think that's actually one of the reasons X struck a chord and still does strike a chord is because, you know, he was spitting some messages and had some ideas, but he was really an angsty kid, and that really hits. And it, I think if there's an analogy, he's more of a Kurt Cobain than a Tupac, really.
I would agree.
He's capturing the
moment
feelings of a generation, really. And there's a lot of angry kids, and they're embracing that music still. They're making this new genre of hip hop, and it is, I think, going to stay pretty.
Well, you know, there's a theory,
and it, because
there's
angry,
a theory of thought too that, you know, X was changing, you know, a lot in that last year. Like, his mentality was changing. He was actually becoming more positive. And I wonder if there was, you know, some sort of pushback on that as well. I mean, I'm going down a couple conspiracy holes here, but I'm just saying, like, it seemed that he was trying to, you know, present a little more positivity than he had early on when he was, you know, getting a lot of fights and, you know, really just wilding out, having a lot of beefs and stuff like that, because, you know,
Well, and I think that, well, that's part of it because I think that this upcoming generation, and I feel it too. It's a mixture of, because you're raised, wanting to save the environment and do what's best, but you're also inheriting a society that essentially stands against all of those things, and so you have these conflicting, altruistic like ideas, but also that rage where you're pissed off, man. Like you do want to see it burn, right? To some degree, because it's broken and it doesn't work. And so, yeah, having when you listen to like a playlist of X songs, you do it. It's so it doesn't flow together at all because each song, it's he kind of captures that bipolarness of this upcoming generation, the side effect of being raised on the internet, of being constantly blasted with this information of, well, here's how we create a perfect world and everything's bad because of these people or those people. Yeah. And it's not how humans have ever existed before. It's a new thing, right? And that music, and even down to the sound, that weird rough recording sound, it in some way, I can't describe it, they should have sent a poet. In some way it captures this fucking essence.
And these guys are young, you know what I mean? Like, he died at 20, Pac died at 24, yeah. Kurt Cobain, you know what I mean? All these, like, so it's hard to really judge them at that point because, like, even, like, I would tell people during, like, the whole BLM, like, riots and stuff, and I would be like, let me just tell you, like, right now I'm 39, but if I was 18 years old, 17 years old, in 2020, when all these, I would have been right there probably being one of the guys burning shit down. Like, easily, I would have been drunk as fuck, smoking with all my friends, and we would have been like, hey man, we're going to the Gucci store, we're going to the it's just people forget what it's like to be younger. And I think that's some of the things that really hurts a lot of these artists, because people did wild shit when they're young, and then they get a family and they become older and they're like, oh man, these people are terrible, and be like, hey, let's go back to what you were doing in high school. Yeah. Oh, were you doing fucked up shit too? Well, oh, okay. And I think that's where people lose the touch of what's really going on with the world. And that's why we're always at each other's throats, because they're like, oh, it's the younger generation's fault. And then the younger generation says, oh, it's because older generation. And it's like, no, it's because we have this disconnect and we don't understand that we were just once, not too long ago, in the same shoes you were in, but now I'm forgot about that, and I'm like, oh, these piece of shit people. And I get into arguments all the time with people my age, because I remember during all that stuff everybody was like, oh man, fucking, you don't even understand. And I'm like, dude, we would have been right there with the fucking keg. What are you talking about? Like, we were doing stupid shit.
Sean,
it's just that we didn't have that then.
Like, and it's like Chaz said, you mix the internet in with that, right? Where it literally divides people even more down the line, because you listen.
Oh yeah, the biggest lie we've ever been sold,
right?
Is that the internet's to connect us.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, what's so fascinating, and Sean and I, find that we talk about this all the time, because we talk all the time on the phone anyway, and we don't agree about everything at all. Like, there's times that he and I don't agree, but We have a legitimate conversation. We talk to people. Like, I don't have to think like you think. Oh, I don't have to. But if I can sit there and have like a legitimate conversation, understand where you're coming from, one, I'm probably going to walk away from it learning something. That's number one. So you got to be open minded on that front. And number two, it's just that connectability, like that in person or on the phone or whatever, that just that connection with somebody, and not this like Twitter fingers. And that's what's happening, where people just hate each other for nothing. Like, they hate each other over 10 words. And that's what's kind of like happening now. And it really is, like you said.
And it's really Twitter's the worst.
definitely the worst out of all of them, I would say, because you have so little characters and to work with, and then people are just on there just to talk shit, man. That's like all they do.
Well, and I'm guilty of it too, because me too. I'm on there with all the paranormal shit, and like God, the UFO skeptics. You have people who just, you know, don't know what they're talking about, telling, like, fighter pilots and stuff who are like, I saw a UFO. Like, no, you didn't. You saw a weather balloon. You don't know what you're doing. You're bad at your job. I'm a computer programmer, so I know better. And it's like, and here's the thing. Like, I'll put a snarky comment on a thing because, you know, I'm a fucking asshole, too. I play the game. And that will get – people will see that. They'll like that. That'll get shared. But then, you know, recently I started a petition to get this house recognized as a historic landmark. It's a famous house. It's got built by a famous architect, UFO stories, ghost stories, all kinds of cool shit associated with it. It's on government land and it's fallen apart. No one knows who's in charge and it's this total failure of bureaucracy. And so I'm trying to get this petition out there and recognize algorithm hates it. Doesn't want to share it. No one sees it. No one fucking
because it's positive, man.
But when I call someone right, I call someone a twat.
No, you got to rework it. You got to rework it. You got to be like, hey, don't fucking try. Don't fucking sign this petition. You fucking
don't
anybody.
Sign this shit. Fuck this petition.
You're going about it the wrong way. You know, you gotta work the internet.
You're right, man. Haven't thought about that.
But I do think that music is never gonna die, and I think you're right. Like, because we get pushback. Like, even people with me, like, in being in the conspiracy, and like, I believe in God, and to me personally, I don't really give a lot of power to the devil, Satan. Like, I don't have a specific religion. I just have what I think is. I don't know if I'm right, but I just know that it works for me. You know what I mean? And I kind of just let everybody do their thing. But people will listen and be like, hey, man, I heard it in your song. You're talking. Well, yeah, I have talked about drugs in my songs. I've done them. So, like, I'm allowed to say that. You know what I mean? I do have, like, other people, like, or people make comparisons. I have friends that have said stuff about, like, Satan or this, and they're like, oh, man. Dude, he's just saying it's a song. Like, you don't understand how lyrics work. Like, people think, like,
marketing,
you said,
too.
Your perception of it is not how it comes together.
It's marketing, too, man. Like, first off, yeah. Like, and you know how I feel, Sean. Like, I think some of these guys are involved, like, deep in the occult. And I think they
sure.
definitely are, like, totally, you know, feeding the beast. But I do think that a lot of it, but I would say maybe majority of it is marketing. They know what sells. They know what's going to, like, get them publicity. And it's part of that, too, though.
Hell yeah. So I'm on the cover of a magazine next month. And I'm holding a goat face, and it's, like, flaming. The artist did a great job. Looks cool as hell. But they sent it to me, and I was like, why did you edit the joint out of my mouth? Put the joint back inside my mouth. And there was, like, there was this whole debate, and I got that the joints in my mouth.
Nice.
and again, like, I am selling that occult image. It's part of my marketing, man. I'm tapping into a market, and it's authentic to who I am. I use these substances and conduct, you know, unconventional experiments, and as part of my research, you know, the connections between the psychedelic experience and shamanism and the paranormal are mm-hmm. huge, and it's something worth researching. That's why I use the mononym. It's just Chaz. Fucking come at me, lawyers. but don't actually, please. Yeah, probably wouldn't be that hard. My government
Redact.
But again, it's part of that. That's one of those hip hop things. That's part of that new culture of SoundCloud. Internet rap, where this is the world we live in, and it's one where we're policed a lot. And it's, you know, one thing we have, I think, realized, at least the younger generations have realized, is that policing, while it's definitely very heavily racially biased, it still applies to all of us. Like, there's a time and place where you'll be under the thumb, where it's not impossible for them to get you too. And, you know, the music and the art, whether it is psychedelic paranormal investigation, or it's hip hop, or it's metal, or it's poetry, the art of this time period is reflecting that, where it's, you know, it's kind of about saying, fuck you, I'm going to do it anyways. You know, that's kind of the cornerstone of what is so interesting and fascinating about a lot of the genres of music. You know, even the older musicians, you have the fucking Lil Wayne metal album or punk rock album, whatever you want to call that. It's an attempt. And it's, again, where the genre defining shit, where you have to live up to these specific stereotypes. I'm a big Young Thug fan. He likes wearing his dresses and doing weird shit. Hell yeah, man. Fucking, it's... reality is a playground, and you gotta fucking fuck with it if you're really gonna experience it. And that's, I think, really the message of a lot of this new music. And,
but the weird part about it is we're in a time where, like, okay, so in one sense, like, this is for me personally, this is the weird part. On one sense, they're like, yeah, fuck the system, we're against the system. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I've been talking about a police state for a long time, you know, and like what that it entails. Like, there's a lot of things that goes into that. But then you got them going, yeah, but now you got to take the jab. Like, it's like, wait. That government is a government agency as well as that government agency. And it's like, weird paradigm. Like, the left is like, oh, we like this government agency, but we don't like this one. And the right's like, we like these government agencies. And I'm like, bro, yeah. I thought we were against all of them. Like, what happened? It's, we were supposed designed, to against all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it's designed hypocrisy. It's, you know, if you're the left, you want, you know, everyone to take a vaccine. If you're the right, you want no women to have abortions.
Yeah.
You're both arguing the same issue, though, body autonomy. What mm-hmm. what can people
oh,
do
my
with
God,
their body?
Yes, thank you.
And so you've gotten people to agree on both on the issue of, well, the government can decide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's about women having abortions or about you taking a vaccine, the government decides. It's the same issue with policing, right? The right loves the police. Oh, but now they hate the FBI.
Right.
They hate the Capitol. Yeah. And so, again, it's this designed hypocrisy, which it plays into media and it plays into these things, but it doesn't play to the people. When you really talk to people under 50, I'm gonna say, I'm not going to throw all people over 50 under the bus, but for the most part, it's the people under 50. We'll be able to talk about those issues and have some kind of rational, like, conversation. But we're definitely losing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And when it comes back to, though, that freedom of expression and this type of music and things like that, and people always say, oh, well, there's that occult symbolism. We need to remember that the occult symbolism, occult secret societies, secret schools, witchcraft, that was freedom of expression back in the day when expressing yourself could get you burned at the stake or hung. Mm-hmm. And so it's only natural that those symbols bleed into that kind of shit. When people are like, oh, they've got, you know, pentagrams in their shit, well, fucking, a pentagram used to mean you were cool back in the day. Why wouldn't it still mean that today? You know what I mean? It's natural for art to be based on previous art. And when you have, you know, hundreds of years of repressed art being labeled as occult or satanic, it's gonna continue to pervade.
And you're going to push people into those levels. Like, I had Esoteric Eddie on a few back. We had him recently, and that will be dropping soon. But the one that I had, and he broke down, like, the Illuminati, the start of the Illuminati. And, you know, people really think of it like, oh, this, all the occult stuff. But really, it was against the Jesuits. Like, the Jesuits at the time were, like, in charge. And so the church ruled. And the church ruled with an iron fist. And they were a back alley bar group that was just like, hey, we're against the system. Like, all these groups starting out going against the system.
Bavaria,
yeah.
Right.
You know what?
So it's like so ironic.
Right. We think of it.
And mm-hmm. to what you... Yeah, no,
sorry,
no worries. What you were saying, Sean, but what always happens, right? To anything good, bad always infiltrates it, and it turns it into not what it intent, what it started out or what was intended to be. And that, and I would say that sure. on all fronts, like with on both sides. And I think what you just said earlier, Chaz, too, about the hypocrisy, I think that plays into both angles. Because if they can infiltrate both sides and then you could just play them against each other, that's the ultimate game. I mean, you never, you know, you're always seeking the truth. You're always trying to find out what's going on. And I think that's, you're right, Sean. I was just piggybacking off of what you said, though, about...
It's also the power that you put into it. Like a pentagram means nothing to me. I don't care if someone wears a pentagram. It's not going to kill me. Like, but people put, like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's also the thing, is people put so much power into these symbols. That's your fault. Don't give it power then. Like, don't... If you don't like it, don't watch it. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. Like, and I think that's the problem. Like, people are like, oh, man, that's guy got... Well, go talk to him, man. I've seen a lot of those... Like you said, a lot of those Satanists, like, they're just like... Yeah, they're just like, usually, no offense, but a lot of the Satanists are nerdish. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, guys, you know, like, and they're not some like, oh, like yeah, summoning definitely. A devil. Like, you're just like, he's like, yeah, I just fucking fuck the system, man. Like, you know what I mean? That's usually what it is. And if you go talk to them and have a conversation with them, it's almost the same thing that people have when they see like somebody that is perceived as a gang member. Like me, how I dressed most of my life, people were like, oh, man, he wears jerseys. He wears hats. Like, you know what I mean? Cops pull you over. Like, you get this certain characteristics of where people think put you in this box, and you're like, but you don't even know me. You haven't even talked to me. You have no idea what type of person I am. And that's the problem, is we put people in boxes and we're like, oh, they got that upside down cross, he's forever bad. Now, and I understand that people, you know, are very religious and they see some of it as blasphemy, but then you go, hey, I'm not going to pay attention to that. You're giving it power by making this big ordeal of saying like, oh, what do you think that's going to do? It's going to create more of that. If you want to oppose it, go create something opposite of it that people may follow. But no, instead you're like, yeah, don't do that. What is the human nature? When you tell us don't do that, we're like, you know what? I'm going to touch this hot stove. Even though I know I might get hurt, they keep telling me no. So I'm going to see what's up with it.
Hell yeah. And that's how we explore the globe and shit. Absolutely. I'm 100% on board with all of that. I think the policing of man is the one true fucking crime. You know what I mean? Amen. Where this government system, the trying to dictate, you know, who does what. It's just leads to shit being fucked up. And again, it's... I really try, especially in the paranormal field, to avoid the good versus evil kind of imagery. In particular, when I'm investigating the paranormal, because it's held it back for so long, right? Anything mildly spooky is a fucking demon. It's still dictated by that stupid religious archetype that, you know, something physical is occurring. Things are happening. Things are moving on their own. People are seeing UFOs. They leave scorch marks. Bigfoot leaves footprints. He throws rocks at houses. Physical things are occurring. Something's going on, but it immediately goes to this religious bend, and it loses all sense of you know, rationality. And so I try to avoid the, is it evil? Is it good? And really look at nature through a different lens. And occultism is a good way to do that. I personally like the Discordian lens. And that's the idea. One of the symbols they have, it's basically a pseudo-philosophy started by a bunch of acid heads in the 60s and 70s. So it might all be a psyop. I could be a victim. But...
Yo.
The idea is that one of the main symbols, it is, you know, your yin yang, but the circles on the inside are replaced with a pentagon on one side, and that represents order. That's your golden ratio, right? There's these things throughout nature. There's an interminate order, right? The earth spins in 24 hours. The moon rises, the sun sets. There's this order. And then on the other end of it is the golden apple, replaces the other dot. And that's from Greek mythology. That's Eris, the goddess of chaos. She tossed the golden apple into the party of the gods because they didn't invite her because she's, you know, she's the goddess of chaos. She fucks shit up.
She's kind of a bitch.
So she tossed this apple over the wall and made all the goddesses fight over it. And it eventually led to the Battle of Troy on Earth. It's this you know, classic, classical Greek epic. And so that represents chaos, and that is, it's chaos, you know. It's when fucking people get struck by lightning, when things happen seemingly randomly. Everyone recognizes chaos in this, you know, world, right? Things happen to good, bad things happen to good people. There's these undeterminable aspects of reality. You can never know for sure what's going to happen. And so chaos is the other aspect of this reality. You have order, you have chaos. And it's part of being a Discordian is recognizing that that's not substitutes for good and evil. The Pentagon is a pretty important symbol. It represents order, but it also, to any American citizen, represents something else, right? When you think of the Pentagon, you don't think of, oh, good. It's good that they're looking out for us, keeping order.
Right.
You think of drone strikes. You think of atrocities. You think of it's an element of order that's gone chaotic. People are signing you have lawyers sitting in windowless offices signing documents that decide whether this party of people gets blown up in a country on the other side of the globe. That is a level of order that is clearly not good.
Yeah.
And again, you have chaotical things where every once in a while, you know, a shitty person dies. And you're like, oh, cool. It's great. You know, that's one of those things. Oh, he has a family. No, when Hitler died, it was good. Whether he died a free man in Argentina or in that bunker. Whenever he died, it was a good thing, right? So you have elements of chaos that straighten out things like that. You know, every once in a while, the other day I found $11 on the sidewalk. Fuck, that was pretty good for me. Again, these things don't represent good or evil, but they represent this duality of reality. And a lot of people tag on good and evil, you know, vision that lens on top of these things. But I think when it comes to, you know, general life, it leads to being a lot more empathetic, to understanding what people are thinking and going through, when you realize that, well, they believe this because they were either raised to some system of order, they were educated to believe it, or they had some experiences, some system of chaos that has led them to believe this. And so it leads you not to believe that, oh, well, just because they're an evangelical Christian, they're some irredeemable douchebag. And again, I'm guilty of that one too. Like, I'm preaching really good here, but I want to admit that I'm not as good as I speak. I'm guilty of all this shit. But I try my best to remind myself that, you know, these people, there's elements of nature that are beyond our understanding and certainly beyond a lot of people's understanding. And that's not anyone's, it's, you know, it's part of this cosmic game we're all playing. It's not good or bad. It's what it is.
I think it comes from perspective as well. I think people lose that. Your perspective is everything. That's why, like, your certain experiences in life, that's going to give you a different perspective. And when you're not able to see other perspectives in life, you only see everything through one lens instead of this multitude of what it could be. Because your perspective of chaos could be, you know, more chaos is like, hey, we're all living free. Like, an example I use a lot is anarchy, right? People are like, oh, man, anarchy, man, that means we're all... No, anarchy... I always tell people it means I don't have to have a fishing license. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it as. You look at it as like the world's burning down. I look at like I don't have to pay these taxes. I don't have to worry about speed limit. Oh, well, everybody's going to die if there's no speed limit. And really, it's funny because most people don't know the reason speed limits were created was because of during a gas crisis. And they were like, hey, let's make these speed limits so people won't waste their gas as much. All these little laws. And to me, that to somebody else, their perspective, that's chaos. They need that order. And I think that's what it comes to perspective is what do you really see? And unfortunately, a lot of people are very one-sided and can only see one way, and they refuse to try to look other ways and not have even conversations with people and have a genuine open mind and be like, hey, I don't know what you're saying right now, but I'll listen and I'll let it try to resonate with me. Automatically, they're like, you're the devil, you're wrong, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the instinct is to lean in with that kind of shit because, you know, I tend not to get too political, but we're getting there, so I'm going to get a little bit. But I'm 100% an anarchist, but not like the cool, like, throw a gas canister back at the police, at the BLM anarchist. I'm like the Black Army, Ukrainian, Catalonian anarchist. Heavily armed unions is the key to anarchy. Yes. Like the I get very, it's dense, and people are like, okay, well, I'm not going to fucking talk to you anymore. And that's partly by design. That's kind of why I like being that kind of anarchist. Because, but you're right. It's the idea that, you know, someone should tell someone else how to live is clearly a ludicrous concept. When you break it down to that base level, everyone's like, well, yeah, that shouldn't happen. But we still all, you know, participate in government and participate in laws and stuff. And it's essentially at gunpoint, right? That's the threat. They'll come and throw you in a place against your will because they have a gun and you don't, and society will come after you. Even if you do get your own gun and try to fight back, we'll just, you know, destroy you. You can't travel anymore. There's no hope. It's you're a wild man or you're going to prison. And it's a, you know, they talk about the social contract, but it's not a social contract. It's a social hostage situation. And we're the fucking hostage. And so it's really, you know, you can get into the specifics of which party this, which party that. And the simplicity is just stop fucking with people. Just stop, you know. Right? And here's the thing. I'm an anarchist. I believe the government should go away. Heavily armed unions should dictate what occurs. But I'm rational. I'll have the – well, you can find the middle ground.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that.
I'm not all for that. We can find somewhere in between.
If we have to get there, then we have to go. Like, if you don't want to be a meet in the middle, like, for instance, even like with like a lot of the issues, like people like get mad at me. Like, so when they first started following me, people would be like, yeah, he's against the masks, he's against the jabs. And then they got mad because I'm not really for the police. And people were like, oh, whoa, man. Like, if I like pull the rug out under them and I'm like, hey, man, it's not my fault you haven't been listening to the podcast, or you don't, you just seen a couple posts, you know, that's on you,
hey,
man.
Sean. And it's kind of like Sean said too, because we were talking about TikTok earlier, and part of the reason that I left there was because I was creating this echo chamber of a bunch of Trumpers, because like I would say stuff about Joe Biden, but they didn't realize like I would bash him just as much, and then they would get in a huge tizzy and be like, oh, what are you talking about? We're like, nah, motherfucker, like I'm just against the fucking system. That has nothing to do with like,
like they're mad Joe at Biden for being logically consistent, because I'm against vaccine mandate. And I'm against the government saying women can't get abortions, because I don't think the government should tell you what
should
to
tell
do.
Anything
that simple. Right. Right, they should have zero say in any of that shit. That it's that simple. And that concept, and people get upset. They get upset about your consistency. They want you to make those little concessions. They want you to play the little chess game. They want to pretend like they're, you know, fighting for the presidency, just like Donald Trump is. And it's a fucking lie. That's not the goal is continuing. What we've established through the COVID era and through the overturning of Roe v. Wade is that your body doesn't belong to you anymore. The government is going to determine what you're going to do with it, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, whether we have to trick you into it or force you into it. We're going to do it. That's the message.
That's true.
I used to always say about Democrats or Republicans, I was like, a Republican will strong arm you, like, in your face, put a gun to your face, and a liberal, a Democrat will just steal behind your back. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. It's just one sneakier about it. That's all the only difference.
We're getting a little political for my taste. Again, I'm not qualified to talk about politics. Right. I'm qualified to talk about UFOs. Caveat on all of this. It's fucking insane. The Democrats are giving a bunch of money to Trump-backed Republicans because they think it'll be easier to beat Trump Republicans than it will be they're playing chess with our legal systems, our laws, our taxes. They're playing these super petty little nitpicky games because, again, they're not the smartest people. The smartest people in our country go to the corporate sector and make money. These guys are the second cut rate backwashers. There's some rich kids. There's some rich kid, right? They're the B league at best. Just someone's kid, someone's daughter who owned a pizza company or whatever, and now they get to dictate. They get to go to Washington and have meetings and dinners and fuck with our health care. Again, it's a system that, you know, isn't compatible. It's not something that's going to last long. It didn't last long for the Royals back in the day. It's not going to last long for.
But the ironic part is that, like, they play this game and then they turn around on people like us where we talk about Bigfoot or UFOs and we're the crazy ones, even though we can physically show evidence and stuff like that. But we're the insane ones while you're playing this insane game. And I think that's wild to me because, like you were saying, there's tons of evidence of out there, like physical evidence. It's not just, and there's so many accounts of people that say, hey, like, at some point you can't say like, hey man, they're all lying, man, they didn't see a UFO. Like, and like you said, like, literally, like, whether, what is it, we don't know. But when you put this evil tag on it or this branding of, you can't, oh, it's taboo, we can't look into it anymore, now we're never going to figure out what it is. Now we've stopped all the investigations.
This is something I was talking about on a UFO themed show recently, that we've missed. Everyone talks about, oh, if they landed on the White House lawn and they like came out, like that's what we need for people to accept. We've missed that point. It's too late. They've missed that window to do it, because even if that happened tomorrow, you'd have fucking people going on Fox News saying it's a deep fake.
It's not real.
The Democrats are tricking you with their hologram technology. And it would instantly become just this what do you believe kind of argument. And we've successfully made reality malleable. We're going to ignore facts and accept what we want to accept. And that's always kind of been the case. But before, you didn't have the echo chambers of the internet. Before, you at least had to the overall echo chamber of society where everyone kind of had to get along. Where now, I don't have to get along with anyone. I can come home, go on the internet, and I can talk to people who will fucking stroke me off in all nine ways till Sunday. I'm set, and then I can go back out for the rest of the day and be an asshole to everyone there, and then come back and have my beautiful little echo chamber.
Or even split personality. You can go in there and have everybody pat you on the back, or then go and then you go, hey, I love you guys, and then go into your other account and be like, man, fuck it. You know what I mean? You can cause this whole duality yourself on the internet at the same time.
You know, that actually is the second good marketing idea.
It's not
the algorithm loves the hate.
It does. Just flow with the hate. There you get another account. And that just attacks you all the time, and then make another account that defends you, and then have the other account that defends you, and have them constantly on the thread, and you're like, hey, what's going on, guys? I'm just here. Like,
you gotta create the whole thing. I think you might be onto something. I'm taking notes. Where's my fucking pen?
But yeah, man, I really appreciate you coming on, man, and just cutting loose and like being able to like just talk about a variety of things, because I really enjoy like the stuff I have heard of you, that you have a wide range of, you're not just stuck in a box. And I really like the whole aspect, because we're like, we consider ourselves news, paranormal, conspiracies. We try to like talk about it all, because these are the taboo subjects that everybody's scared of. It's like, why? Like, you know, it's something that we got to bring to light. And like I said, I really appreciate you coming on. Before we get off here, though, can you again tell everybody where they can find you and follow you and get your stuff, so that they, because I think that you had a lot of information that people need to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on all the social media platforms at Chaz of the Dead. I have chazofthedead.com is where you can go to find all my articles, podcast appearances, links to my Patreon and my books. I got a couple out there, new one out just this month about a strange case here in Florida involving some UFOs and that haunted house I was talking about. And yeah, check that out. The Betts petition, change.org/Betts, save the Betts house. You can find a link to that on my website as well. Save a piece of spooky history. That's pretty much what I'm about. I do weird kind of stuff, weird houses, investigations. My first book was in Chile. I like to go all over the world and look into these weird subjects and explore things that are a little controversial, but definitely important as we continue to evolve into this strange future.
Yeah, and I will have all that in the show notes. You know, just you'll check down the show notes, go to all the Chaz of the Dead. That's really easy, too. I mean, it's Chaz of the Dead. It's not, if you can't remember that, I don't know what to tell you, man. You should be able to remember.
No spaces.
but don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review to Kill the Mockingbirds, just for the hell of it. You know what I mean? Or even leave a hate remark. We like those as well. Call us
right,
CIA agents.
The algorithm likes that better. You know, leave 5 stars, but say something rude as fuck.
It really pushes us out there. And you can follow us at Operation Kill the Mockingbirds on Instagram. And you can follow us at Kill the Mockingbirds on Telegram. And Joel, where can everybody find you?
Van Tesla Music. You can find me Instagram. You can find me on YouTube. Also, I've been taking notes, and I figured out a new way that I'm going to get Jen Psaki's attention. Chaos magic. That is how I'm going to get her finally. I really feel like that Chaz came on here for that reason, because I'm so close. I got a little bit closer this past week, and our soulless ginger love is so close to finally mating, and I feel like the chaos magic was the piece.
The last piece.
How much do you know about sigils?
I don't know a lot about them, but we're going to get a million of them.
Second question, how comfortable are you with coming on pieces of paper?
For Jinsaki, a lot.
if you're down, I got some magic rituals for you.
And you know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. Are we out? Bruh!
Blaze down a dirt road. Feel the heat of the night. Which way do I go?
I go.
Eat not the Lucy inside.
30 hours to you, dog.
constellation, mountains in the distant scene. Trouble seems to follow me, that's why I pipe my name. Orange mixed in the horizon, Texas margarita. This road is long, can't wait to put my feet up. I'm just existing, my thoughts conflict. Persisting, no coexisting, we're in remission. 30 hours to Utah, whoa. Out of pocket, a cute ball goes. Air a little bit thinner, crossing the Rockies. Cells in my head, luring me, ain't gotta be heartbeat. 30 hours to Utah, whoa. Out of pocket, a cute ball goes. Air a little bit thinner, crossing.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.